Blog Talk Radio.
You will
be blessed more than you can. You will be there. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, thank you for everybody that's listening tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. I ask that you speak to your people mightily tonight, Lord God. Set me down, Lord God, and you stand up mightily in me tonight, Lord God. You say what needs to be said tonight, Lord God, that somebody may be delivered, that somebody may get set free on tonight, Lord God, that somebody may be empowered on tonight in the name of Jesus. The first song I played was Jesus Saves by Tasha Cobbs Leonard. The second song was Your Ladder Will Be Greater by Martha Minnissi. Hello, hello, everybody. I am Prophet Stacy, your humble host, and this is Prolific Fire. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray you will be blessed by the word of the Lord on tonight. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Esther, Chapter 1, verses 5 through 19, from the New Living Translation. The king gave a banquet for all the people, from the greatest to the least, who were in the fortress of Susa. It lasted for 7 days and was held in the courtyard of the palace garden. Verse 6 just talks about how beautiful the courtyard was decorated. So I'm going to skip to verse 7. Drinks were served in gold goblets of many designs, and there was an abundance of royal wine, reflecting the king's generosity. By edict of the king, no limits were placed on the drinking, for the king had instructed all the palace officials to serve each man as much as he wanted. At the same time, Queen Vashti gave a banquet for all the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. On the seventh day of the feast, when King Xerxes was high in spirits because of the wine, he told the 7 eunuchs who attended him to bring Queen Vashti to him with a royal crown on her head. He wanted the nobles and all the men to gaze on her beauty, for she was a very beautiful woman. But when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. This made the king furious, and he burned with anger. He immediately consulted with his wise advisors, who knew all the Persian laws and customs, for he always asked their advice. 7 nobles of Persia and Media, they met with the king regularly and held the highest positions in the empire. What must be done to Queen Vashti? The king demanded. What penalty does the law provide for a queen who refuses to obey the king's orders, promptly sent through his eunuchs? Memucan, one of his advisors, answered the king and his nobles. Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also every noble and citizen throughout your empire. Women everywhere will begin to despise their husbands when they learn that Queen Vashti has refused to appear before the king. Before this day is out, the wives of all the king's nobles throughout Persia and Media will hear what the queen did and will start treating their husbands the same way. There will be no end to their contempt and anger. So if it pleases the king, we suggest that you issue a written decree, a law of the Persians and Medians that cannot be evoked. It should order that Queen Vashti be forever banished from the presence of King Xerxes, and that the king should choose another queen more worthy than she. Beloved, your silence is hurting you. Silence is like a ghost that keeps haunting you and haunting you. You can't get away from it, because what's really haunting you is something that happened to you. You can't get away from it because what's really haunting you is something that happened to you. It happened to you, and you carry it with you subconsciously, day in and day out. The impact of it, buried in your soul, affecting your mind, your will, and your emotions. Afraid no one would believe you. Afraid no one would believe you if you dared to speak out. Not even sure on some days if you believe yourself. Emotions that have been severely traumatized will have you on a roller coaster like this. We have you on a roller coaster of up and downs like this. keep silent and try to live under the radar of suspicion, not wanting to give attention to yourself and the difference, such an indecent, not wanting to give attention to yourself and the difference such an indecent act has brought about in you. You continue to work, to function, to do your best to give out of the part of you that hasn't been hurt, violated, harassed, threatened into a lower position, bullied into silence. You're a woman in the workplace. You're a woman in corporate America. You are a man in Hollywood, well known. You are a woman well known in your field, in the industry. You're a woman nobody knows. You're a man or a woman working a 9-to-5 regular job. You are a man nobody knows. You are a man or a woman that felt powerful. You are a man or a woman that felt powerful until one day you found yourself to be powerless. Stripped of your voice and your power, you said nothing. Stripped of your voice and your power, you said nothing until now, until the Me Too movement was introduced to the world. And women and men all across the country, women and men from all walks of life, all across the country, felt free. They finally felt free and empowered to speak. They finally felt free and empowered to break their silence, to speak the silence that has been hurting them for years, the silence that has been hurting them for years, and speak out. They finally felt free to speak out and kill the ghost and tell their story. One story that is most memorable to me right now is seeing actor Terry Crews speak out on Good Morning America about how he had been sexually assaulted in the industry by a Hollywood agent, an agent he called out by name on live TV. The reason Terry Crews' story stands out is because he was a big, muscular, black man, well known on TV, admitting to having been sexually assaulted. Just seeing a black man in general, just seeing on a black man in general on TV admitting to what he was admitting to, and him just being black in general, means he already faces daily stereotypes. To say what he said on TV, it really stuck with me. It made me realize one thing: no matter what, no matter how it looks to other people, no matter what, no matter how it looks to other people, you must do something to take your power back. You must do something to take your power back. Hear me tonight. You must do something to take your power back. Tonight's message, Vashti's Me Too story. Vashti's Me Too story deals with the subject of sexual harassment. Now, that might not be something that you personally had to deal with, but I'm saying to you tonight, if you've been hurt, and whatever it was that hurt you, changed you, isolated you, you must do something to get your power back. If you've been hurt, I don't care what the hurt was, whatever it was that hurt you, if it changed you, if it isolated you, you must do something to take your power back. Though the enemy has come against you, raising people up in situations, remember this: beloved, you were not born tired. You were not born tired, fearful, exhausted, and powerless. No, you were born strong and fearless. At birth, you were full of young energy and power. You were born with lungs powerful enough to cry out and be heard. You were born with lungs powerful enough to cry out and be heard. Somebody, let God take you back to your original state of who you are. Let God take you back to the original state of who you are. Cry out and be heard. Or as the Bible says, cry aloud and spare not. Isaiah 58:1, NIV. Don't worry about sparing your enemies the humiliation. Don't worry about sparing your enemies the humiliation they got coming. Don't worry about it because they got it coming. Don't worry about sparing your enemy the humiliation they got coming. Even if that enemy is a family member, don't worry about it. Cry aloud and spare not. Do something to take your power back. You've been sexually harassed. You've been sexually assaulted. Do something to take your power back. Vashti did, as you will see in tonight's text. This is Vashti's Me Too story. But to fully understand her story, let's explore some background commentary first. Who was Vashti? Vashti was the queen of Persia. She was not just a wife of the king, but the queenship itself was an honorary political position that she held. The king, however, King Xerxes, was a polygamist with many wives and concubines in his harem. But the queen was a special wife, occupying a favorite position. A call is sent out throughout the kingdom. A call is sent out throughout the kingdom for all beautiful virgins to be gathered into the harem. King could choose a new queen from among them. As a member of the harem, a woman was technically the property of the king. As a woman and as a member of the harem, she was technically property of the king. Either she was a wife or a concubine. Each of the women would spend the night with the king. See Esther 2 and 14. For those of you that like to do your own research, see Esther 2 and 14. After their night together, which is a clear indication of sex, and of him taking the virginity of these beautiful virgin females, each woman would then be moved to the other side of the harem and would never see the king again unless he called for her. When he found the right one, King Xerxes would name her queen, although she would not be his exclusive wife or sexual partner. But a woman whom King Xerxes never called again. She would not be his exclusive wife or his sexual partner, but a woman whom King Xerxes never called again. A woman he never called again. He had sex with her, but he never called her again. She would live her life in the harem as a pampered prisoner with no possibility of a real marriage or a family of her own. As we prepare to go into tonight's foundational text, that's the kind of messed up situation Vashti found herself living in. And the woman who would end up being queen after her would unfortunately find herself living in the same messed up situation. What's equally as messed up, though, is knowing that all over this country, there are some high-powered bosses, some Hollywood agents, some professional colleagues, just like King Xerxes, who feel that women are somehow their property and they can have their way sexually with women and some with men if they prefer, and their sexual advances not be called into question, refused, or challenged, all because of who they are. They think because they are in a king-sized position like King Xerxes, as head of the company, just because they're in a position to fire you if you speak out, in a position to make or break your career, they think they have some kind of magical power over you, and you must do whatever they say. And while you're not a part of a harem like Queen Vashti was in tonight's text, you are definitely among a long line of victims. Victims who were silent until the Me Too movement. I mean, in tonight's foundational text, he was King Xerxes, and no woman dared to say no or refuse King Xerxes. Right? Wrong. Hashtag Me Too. In tonight's foundational text, after being a part of a harem for years, after years of being called queen, but not really feeling like a queen, like the special wife with all the so-called favor, because she knew that her relationship with him was not exclusive. She was not King Zarek's only wife or sexual partner. It's something about knowing. It's something about knowing you're not the only one that does something to a woman. It's something about knowing you're not the only one that does something to a woman. It does something to a woman. It does damage to a woman's soul, a.k.a. when a woman is hurt. But still for years, Vashti jumped through hoops for this man. But still for years, Vashti jumped through hoops for this man. She responded to his every beck and call. Whatever he wanted, she did, because he was King Zarek. Now, I don't know what happened. Maybe it was just something about getting together in the royal palace, celebrating with other women, banquet style, that finally opened her eyes. But this time, somebody say this time, Vashti didn't go running when King Zarek called for her to come. The Bible says that King Zarek and the other men attending his banquet had been drinking. There was no limit placed on their drinking, so they could drink all the wine they wanted. And on the seventh day of the feast, when King Zarek was high in spirits because of the wine he had been drinking, that's when he told the eunuchs who attended him to bring Queen Vashti to him with a royal crown on her head. He wanted all the nobles, check this out, he wanted all the nobles and all the other men to gaze on her beauty, for she was a very beautiful woman. But when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. This made the king furious. He burned with anger. After years of taking the king's orders, years of being his eye candy, using her body to do whatever he wanted, something inside of her snapped. Enough was enough, and she did something to take back her power. It wasn't as elaborate as what Terry Crews did on Good Morning America, but it was as effective. He threw a banquet. She threw a banquet, trying to prove to King Zarek she was indeed his equal. No woman wants to believe that she's not her husband's equal, that she's not his partner, that she's not by his side. So he threw a banquet, she threw a banquet, trying to prove to King Zarek she was indeed his equal. He sent her orders to come to him. She refused. She refused to have her beauty downgraded. She refused to have her beauty degraded to nothing more than a sex object in the eyes of a bunch of intoxicated men. She had dealt with enough of degrading. She had dealt with enough of that type of feeling, that degrading feeling already, being part of a harem, being married to a husband that was a polygamist. Enough was enough. She refused to come. She refused to come. She refused to come. Somebody refused to come. She refused to come. She refused to continue being degraded. She refused to come. She said no. She took her power back. She took back her power, the power she was born with. Somebody, no still means no. Somebody, no still means no. Your no is powerful. Somebody, no still means no. Your no is powerful. If they threaten you, because I feel like somebody listening in, your job has threatened. Your job has been threatened. Your job has been threatened because of what you won't do. If they have threatened, or if they have to run and tell everybody, asking them their advice on what to do because you said no. Oh, yes, your no has power. In tonight's text, King Zarek immediately consulted with his wise advisors, who knew all the Persian laws and customs, for he always asked their advice. What must be done to Queen Vashti? The king demanded. What penalty does the law provide for a queen who refuses to obey the king's orders, properly sent through his eunuch? Vashti's no had so much power that the king had to run and ask his advisors what to do with her. Vashti's know had so much power that the king had to run and ask his advisors what to do with her. Memucan answered the king and his nobles, "Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also every noble and citizen throughout your empire. Women everywhere will begin to despise their husbands when they learn that Queen Vashti has refused to appear before the king. Before this day is out, the wives of all the king's nobles throughout Persia and Media will hear what the queen did and will start treating their husbands the same way. There will be no end to their contempt and anger." Vashti's no had so much power. Listen to this. Vashti's no had so much power that the king and others feared her no. That the king and others feared her no. They feared that her no would start a Me Too movement among the other women, among the other wives. So they did the only thing they could do. King Zerik's advisors told him to issue a written decree. His advisors told him to issue a written decree that couldn't be evoked and choose for himself another queen more worthy, according to them, than Vashti. This is Vashti's Me Too story. She lost her title, her position as queen, because of what she wouldn't do, because of what she was tired of being done to her. She lost her title, her position as queen, because of what she wouldn't do, because of what she was tired of being done to her, and everybody thinking it's okay because he's the king. Now, I'm sure she knew there would be consequences for her refusing the king, disobeying his orders, and saying no. But when you're really tired, somebody, you can relate to this, but when you really get tired, when you're really tired of how you've been living, when you're really tired of how you're living and being done wrong because of it, the consequences no longer matter. She was tired. And somebody, you're tired. Still in your tiredness in this season where you're not at your best, you have power. Still in your tiredness, despite how you feel in this season, even though you're not at your best, you have power. Anytime the enemy uses a person to force you out of a place, it's because you have power. You have power, woman, listening in tonight. You have power, man, listening in tonight. I just want you to know that. God sent me by Blog Talk Radio tonight to tell you, you have power. When they see they can't handle your power, then they're quick to try and shut you down by making you unemployed, etc. But I hear God saying, in the words of Jesus, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 10:19, King James Version. Beloved, if they're trying to poison your mind and make you think it's all somehow your fault, beloved, if they're trying to poison your mind and make you think it was all somehow your fault, it's a snake. If you've ever been made to cry, if you've ever been made to cry until your own tears stain your eyes, it's a scorpion. Do something to take back your power. No serpent, no snake, no scorpion, no enemy has the power to hurt you. Not even now. Not even this. Get with the movement. Hashtag Me Too and tell your story. Don't be silent anymore. Take back your power and kill the ghost. Father God, help all those who have lost their voice, who have been forced into silence over something that's not even their fault, over something they didn't ask for. Give them the strength to speak up and speak out against the pain, against the indecency of that person's behavior in the workplace, no matter where that place may be or who the person may be that's in the wrong. Help them to be truthful about some things and not worry about the consequences, but regain the power you gave them at birth, the power to cry out and be heard. Give somebody the self-respect for their body, that the harassment, the assault, the unwanted sexual advances has stripped them of. Give them strength. Help them find the strength needed to get out of all bad situations, all toxic situations. Help them, show them what to do and how to do it to take back their power. Help them, show them what to do to take back their power. And prepare their spirit for those who would think they're lying when the truth comes out. And prepare their spirit for those who would think they're lying when the truth comes out, when their Me Too story is finally told. Be with them, Father. Be with them, Father, reminding them that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Remind them you have given them power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt them. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, I ask tonight that you look upon the unsaved. Thank you for the grace and mercy that you extend to them daily. Your mercies are new every morning in their lives. Thank you for that. Wake up the desire in somebody's heart to want to change and be made new all tonight. Help somebody answer the call of salvation tonight and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. So be it. Time, I'm going to open the phone lines. If there's anybody on the phone lines via Blog Talk Radio and you desire prayer, press 1 on your phone, and I will be glad to pray with you on tonight. Once again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in on tonight. I truly appreciate it. If you desire prayer, just press 1 on your phone, and I will be glad to pray with you at this time. If not, okay. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, woman of God, how are you? My name is Brian, and yes, ma'am, and I, you know, follow a lot of your posts and stuff on Instagram, and, you know, I think it's very awesome and very prophetic and so on time, the things that you post, and I decided to get on here for the first time and listen in, and it was truly a blessing, and I just like for you to pray with me that, you know, I just draw near to God even the more.
To God be the glory. Thank you for your support on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, tonight I ask that you look upon Brian, Lord God. You hear the desire of the man of God's heart tonight, Lord God, and I ask that you revive the zeal that you placed in him, Lord God, to draw closer to you, Lord God. Give him a hunger and a thirst for you like never before, Lord God. Draw him to the things of you even the more, Lord God. Give him stronger revelation, Lord God, than ever before, Lord God, that it will impact his life in new ways, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Whatever he has on the altar before you, Lord God, in secret, Lord God, I ask that you meet his needs, Lord God, that you will prove yourself to him in this season, that you're realer to him in this season that you've ever been in his life. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you may prepare him now for what he's seeking you for later, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Make him stronger. Make him better in you, God. And we thank you for doing all these things and more in his life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Okay, is there anybody else on the phone line desiring prayer on tonight? If so, do what Brian just did. Press 1 on your phone, and I will be glad to pray with you as well. Okay, you know how we do. If you desire prayer, a Bible-based consultation, but for some reason you didn't get it in tonight, or if something happens next week or whenever and you desire prayer, a Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text me by calling or texting 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Prolific Fire on Instagram at Property Stacy. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. And be sure, everybody that's online tonight, on the phone line tonight, be sure to join me Friday night for Prayer and Prophecy. This Friday night, I will be on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Faith. The woman of God has given me this Friday to pray and prophesy whatever the Lord puts in my spirit. So be sure to join me for that this Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling the same number that many of you called tonight, which is 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken on that night as well if you desire prayer. Just when the phone lines come open, just give your prayer request, and I will be glad to pray with you on that night as well. Then be sure to join me back here on Prolific Fire, same night, same time, same place. I'm excited about this message because God has already been sharing with me about this message, and I know it's going to bless me, and I just bless somebody else next week. The message next week, next Monday, will be on the other side of the gate. On the other side of the gate. Until then, God bless you all. I hope to see you Friday, then back here Monday. Have an awesome night in the Lord. I'm out.